This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Ultimate Marvel Podcast.
I'm Jack. Ronnie's here.
I'm here.
So let me give you some background, Nick.
Yes.
Nick and Martin, infiltration is over.
It is over.
And I refuse to do a Marvel podcast.
I have with me Rob Krieger.
Thanks very much, Jack. I appreciate it.
James Carlson with us.
It's an honor and a privilege.
Daryl Taylor.
I wake up and shoot bullets out of my arms. The adamantium is killing me with these.
This episode of the Ultimate Marvel Podcast, sponsored by...
All right.
This is episode 16 of the Ultimate Marvel Podcast. I'm Jack, and once again we got with us Nick Wetmore.
Hello.
And James Carlson.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for you joining.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So we're going to go totally off script today, because there's no big news, at least not that I'm aware of. So we can go wherever you guys want. But I did want to continue a discussion we had on Marvel events, because... Ronnie and I, a couple podcasts ago, were talking about Secret Empire, and I thought the last good Marvel event was Secret Wars, Hickman's event, and Ronnie thought it was much longer ago than that. But Nick, you actually may have been a bigger fan of Secret Wars than even I was, right?
Oh, gosh. don't even ask how many offshoot trades I read of Secret Wars. I think I could answer that with... the amount that I haven't read is probably less than three. So I was all in on that event.
Did you like the main event?
Yeah. And I would say anyone that didn't like it was probably reading it during that horrible delay schedule.
As opposed to reading it after the fact?
Read it as a trade, and it really worked for me.
Yeah,
it had great pacing.
We talked about this on the last episode, because I was saying Secret Empire felt like the best event since Secret Wars, because I love Secret War. Ronnie didn't like it, so he was saying it was the best event since something a long time ago. I thought Secret War was awesome. The whole concept was really cool to me, and seeing Doom sort of sitting on the throne, that first issue after the Accursion event, which Hickman had been dragging out for years to the point where it's actually, too long. But finally, it happens, and now we see this new world with Doom sitting on the throne. I was like, this is awesome. I was blown away.
I love the Accursion event.
Yeah.
When Hickman's hitting, when he steps up to the plate and he... is in control, he's hitting home runs left and right.
Yeah.
Like, he did one of the best Fantastic Four runs. He did one of the best, for me, Cosmic Avenger runs. It was when you let him go and just do whatever the heck he wants and just play in the sandbox. My Lord.
Well, that Incursion event started in that his Fantastic Four run.
Yes, it was.
And I love Hickman. I read his Image stuff too. My only problem with him is that he does tend to take storylines and drag them out for a long time. He's doing that right now with East of West.
I love me some East of West. Yeah. But you also have to realize he's stretching out things, at least the way I care to look at it, is he's stretching out things to make it more cinematic. To give pacing and let the art speak a little bit and let the story take a back seat. Right. Or if you want to look at it a little pessimistically, is he just padding the issues so that he can pump out a couple more trades within that series? Possibly. Because you sort of have to hit six to eight issues before you have a trade.
And the art, man, I love the art in East of West, so I don't mind that. From that point,
it's like a Sergio Leone Western, but set set in a crazy universe. Trust me, on the first episode of Nerdy Legion, where I accidentally, and I had a, well, I was pretty drunk, but I had a brain fart and said that everyone was sitting on a comfy couch. And then from that point forward, 96 episodes later, Martin's always like, you got to call it the comfy couch. Come on. That's where we're at. That's where we're sitting down. Like, trust me, some things evolve and you wish they wouldn't have evolved.
Right. Well, they remembered it.
Yeah. Well, they were. Yes, Martin remembered it and he'll never let me forget it. But I enjoyed the time in the Marvel Clubhouse, let me tell you. This was a good time.
Thanks for talking about Marvel a lot on over on your podcast. So it's about time.
There's some fun stuff happening at Marvel.
Yeah.
Everyone always wants to slag on them just because they love DC, and I get DC's doing some pretty cool stuff right now, but Marvel's still out there.
Yeah.
They're still doing some good stuff.
Ever since Rebirth stole the thunder from the comic industry, Marvel's been sort of trailing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see. They got Legacy coming up, so maybe they can redeem some of that. Or they can totally do something horrible. We'll see.
Well, Mart and I recorded Sunday, and he gave me a little chit-chat about Secret Empire. And holy Christ, does that sound awesome.
Yeah, it's good. Off to a good start.
And Martin even said that, well, we went off on this tangent like we usually do, and he even stated, I wish Marvel would just keep this pocket universe and just have two separate universes. Because he really dug this universe from the even just one issue.
The Hydra universe, you mean?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I dig that. I was just like, well, that's why I liked Secret Wars. I'm like, because it was like an Elseworld book. It was tons of fun.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think Nick Spencer, he's just telling it better than who did? Oh, like IVX with Charles Soule and Lemire writing that. It was too, there was one story. It didn't really go anywhere. It was just like, we got two different teams of people and they're going to fight each other. And that's all this is going to be about. Where Secret Empire, he's going into, he has this sort of street level thing going. He has the Hydra takeover, and then there's, you know, superheroes trapped in space. And then there's, you know, he has a lot of different elements going on at once. It makes it interesting, and it's toggling back and forth, sort of like a movie, you know, would do.
That sounds so good.
Yeah, it's good. It's only two issues in, though. He has to land
But considering everyone was completely down on his jock for the whole Nazi cap, it's like, man, have people done a 180 on him?
Well, they still are on him.
Really? Because all I'm seeing is praise and love.
Yeah.
At least for Secret Empire's one.
They were saying that at C2E2 that people walked out of the room when they were reading excerpts from issue one. When people heard how it ended, they were like, somebody was crying, somebody got mad and walked out, and like, people don't like seeing Cap. People are upset that Captain America is not his typical, you know, voice for liberty. There's this persona that goes along with Captain America. Now that he's not that anymore, like, people are really upset, and it's weird. It's like, who cares?
Yeah, like, people need to pump the brakes a little bit.
It's like, you can't enjoy a story because of that. I mean, that's what, I don't know.
I would love to look at the numbers of Cap sales before Death of Captain America.
Yeah.
To really get a gauge on, like, how popular is he? Because it didn't seem like he was a huge bestseller until that hit. And then he sort of, I mean, Brubaker made him huge, and then guess what? The movie followed, so that helped.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, when you were a kid, did you know who Captain America was?
Absolutely.
You did? I don't think I did.
Oh, without a doubt. But when I was a kid, even before, after reading it for a decade or so, I hate to say it, Captain America wasn't guesting on all these books. It was Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, Wolverine. It wasn't Captain America. And it wasn't Iron
right.
Man. Like, Iron Man was a C-level character.
Oh, for sure. Iron Man, too. I didn't know who Iron Man was as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So now, when I say kid, I don't mean like a teenager. I mean like when you were 10, 12 years old.
I only knew him because he was in the Avengers. And I used to buy Avengers because, you know, as a young child and you don't have that much money, why wouldn't you get a comic book that had 8 superheroes in it instead of one?
Right.
Yeah. So I always knew him from that, but I wasn't interested in him. He was too much of a goody-goody. I wasn't interested in Tony Stark either.
Yeah.
But
well,
there were other
Robert Downey
superheroes.
Jr. made Tony Stark.
For sure.
I mean, he made the whole Marvel MCU, as far as I'm concerned. That's what's really kicked it off. But, yeah, who cared about Tony Stark before Robert Downey Jr.?
If they would have miscast that, I don't think we would even be close to where we are now.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's why pull up the Brinks truck for Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, like, yeah.
Holy cow.
When I was a kid, man, it was all Spider-Man, it was all Hulk, as far as Marvel goes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the big ones. And then it was Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. I don't remember many other Marvel characters when I was a really
young
kid.
X-Men.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's X-Men?
X-Men, but that was when I was getting older. I read X-Men in high school. But when I was like 10 or 12, I don't remember. X-Men, I don't think.
Wow.
Yeah, I would agree, guys. Cap and Iron Man, when it came to comics, they were always B or C characters. I always preferred Spider-Man or X-Men. And what made Captain America cool for me, on the same lines, was Infinity Gauntlet. He was the guy. Was that issue 5 where he walks up? He was basically the last man standing and walks up and confronts Thanos. I mean, it's quintessential. It's one of the best scenes in probably Marvel history.
Yeah.
That's what made Captain America cool for me.
Y'all are going to make me want to read that again. I need to read it again before the movie.
I hate to say it. I might have to buy the digital collection because I'm too lazy to actually go and find my floppies because it's on sale right now.
of Infinity Gauntlet?
Yep. It's $4.99 and I can't even think, do I buy a fancy coffee with that $5 or buy just a quintessential book that...
Well, at least you...
I hate to say it. Like, all these people that... Like, I get how important Watchmen is. And I get how important, like, Killing Joke is. But give me Infinity Gauntlet. I would read that over those two, like, seminal books. I would read Infinity Gauntlet probably 3 times for every 1 Watchmen read.
it was so
much fun.
Now, I wonder, though, because, man, I loved it in the 90s. And I love it now, but it's partly for nostalgic reasons. Well, yeah, for sure. I wonder if Infinity Gauntlet came out right now for the first time. Mm-hmm. Nobody had ever read it before. Do you think it would have the same response that it had back then?
Is George Perez drawing it like he draws now? Or is George Perez drawing it like the 80s?
Oh, man, you're making it too complicated. I was thinking just the story, but I guess you can't just take the story without the art.
That would still be a big seller because... What even 50-year-old comic book readers currently, if you do a big event that has tons of characters in it, what 50-year-old reader wouldn't want to buy that? And also, what 10-year-old reader won't be like, I've seen 10 of those people on a movie screen. I'm going to try that out.
It's
a no-brainer.
And it's a cosmic event. They don't do big cosmic events anymore.
And it's a smart cosmic event. you have to think about it. It's not just spoon-fed to you.
Yeah.
And that's why it's time for me, that's why it's timeless.
Have you read any of Starlin's current Infinity storyline stuff?
I have not.
He has a trilogy, and I think they only came out in hardcovers. Three different Infinity storylines, and they're feature Thanos and Warlock. I was curious if you like them as well.
James, did you read those?
You know, I think I haven't read them. I may own one or two of them. They still may be shrink wrapped. I'm gonna have to my library. I feel embarrassed.
They weren't. They weren't all that great. I was curious what you guys would say though. They were you know, good. If you're a fan of Starlin and what he did with Warlock and Thanos in the 90s, then you'll like it for that reason. If you don't care about that, then you're probably like, meh, this is okay.
I like that he's just building onto it like a soap opera. I think that's fun.
Right. And they, you know what? It's not even connected to anything. They just let him do whatever he wants.
But if you think about, I don't know how much Starlin you've read outside of like the Marvel U, but there's always some spiritual
none
aspect.
I've read
none. You never read Dreadstar from Epic Comics, which is an offshoot of Marvel Comics.
No, I do have a. Oh, you know what? It's not even written by Starlin. At SC Comic Con, I bought the Ominous stuff, and he did a cover on one of theirs. I was thinking he wrote it, but he didn't. He just did the art on one of the Ominous.
Gotcha.
The Ominous books.
And James, I don't know if you ever read Dreadstar, but that is a space opera that is just amazing. And there is some spiritual, like soul searching story points, but just watching, having Jim Starlin create his own universe. And then the action scenes are just crazy, but it is a big, huge space opera.
Now, what year was that? When is that from?
82, 84.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I have, because I got into him in the 90s. I got into comics in the 90s.
Okay.
Because of Starlin, and I haven't read a lot of him before that.
It's fun. It's a fun read. But Death of Captain Marvel, that's well worth reading.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And I don't know, did you ever read Starlin's Captain Marvel back in the day?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's so good. It is. One of my buddies sold me, and needless to say, this is old man brain, so I definitely could get some of these details wrong. But Captain Marvel has these nega bands on him, like wristbands.
Right.
And if he clangs them together, he goes into this like different space. And he is connected to Rick Jones from the Hulk.
Oh, wow.
So Rick Jones will appear on Earth with these because of the Nega bands.
Yeah.
So then when he clicks them, then Captain Marvel comes back.
Yeah.
And it's just such a strange concept, but so cool. And it's even it's brought out like in the modern times, a few writers have used it, as well as I think Bendis used it in Alias.
Right.
When he tracked down Rick Jones, and Rick Jones talked about his life, and he talked about those nega bands.
Now this is Captain Marvel in the, like 70s?
Oh, yeah, this is like 78.
Yeah.
This was when, I mean, I would love to say like, oh my God, this is so, and it was original, very original. But it also, like, what the hell are you smoking, Jim Starlin? Like, conceptually, it was so out there.
Oh, yeah, well, that seems to be a theme for him for a while.
But Death of Captain Marvel, highly recommend. If you wanted to just go buy that digitally, just on the cheap, and then if you decide you like it, hey, everybody that we just talked about tonight is in it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't like the new Captain Marvel compared to the original. She seems to not be very popular.
Yeah, that's weird. But I don't like Kelly Sue DeConnick, but I liked her take on the character.
Yeah.
It was a lot more military, which is okay.
I think Brie Larson has some big shoes to fill. She has to really sell that character, because people, I don't think, are going into that wanting to see her, wanting to see that character.
She could be fun.
Yeah, that's a good choice. Yeah. I'm not saying that negatively about her, but it's going to be a hard character to sell to fans, I think.
Oh, I think I disagree. I think that is a character that you can sell to every daughter and adolescent teen female. That will be huge when you look at Comic-Cons the year after that movie comes out. I could see a lot of people dressing up as her.
Like Marvel's Wonder Super Woman.
Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, I think I would really like to see, I don't have children, but if I did have a daughter, I think I'd really like to see her in a Captain Marvel outfit than a Harley Quinn outfit. So.
Agreed, man.
Yeah, man, I'm looking at Starlin's written there's a lot of stuff I haven't actually read.
Oh, but Jack, let me say, because I've read some Starlin that's just god awful. Just god awful, but there's when you hit on a gem, holy mackerel, is it fun?
Yeah, I don't know why that is. A lot of his recent stuff, he's not the same anymore as he used to be.
No,
he had a Thanos versus Hulk run about a couple years ago. Man, it was it was bad.
It was repellent. It was so bad,
and it had Pip in it, so you would have hated it even more.
Does Hulk crush him? I might have liked it then.
No, Hulk's like subdued the whole thing by Thanos.
Oh, no. Oh, but I have to say, going back to the original Guardians, I would love to see a Vance Astro story. Because I always thought that was a cool alternate version of Captain America.
Yeah.
Like, I would just love to have that told, but I could see that being pretty confusing to people who only go see the films.
Well, didn't he carry the shield?
Yeah. Absolutely. And he was frozen in ice.
Yeah.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah, that would be confusing. But, you know, these contracts are going to run up soon. So, I mean, I think they're going to have to start replacing some of these characters. And I don't think if they really want to keep the MCU as tight as it's been, you can't just replace the actor. You got to discontinue that character. If you know, you can't, for example, you can't replace Robert Downey Jr. If he doesn't sign back on with Marvel for whatever reason, you got to do something else with Iron Man. You got to go with the new young Riri or whatever they're doing.
I was just about to say, didn't they already replace Iron Man in the comics?
Well, he's still there. Nobody knows where he's at. He's missing.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I completely disagree with your statement. I think Marvel can get rid of anyone and replace them with anyone.
You think they could replace Robert Downey Jr.? They could have a different Tony Stark in the next movie, in Infinity War?
How old do you want Robert Downey Jr. to be on screen?
I'm not saying they can't replace Iron Man. I'm saying they can't replace Tony Stark. If they want to keep making Iron Man, putting Iron Man in these movies, I'm saying they need to do. They need to go like Riri. They need to have a new actor that's not Tony Stark.
I'm saying that they can't replace Tony Stark and they can't replace Iron Man. They can replace Robert Downey Jr.
It's like replacing Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Yep, you know, and they did that too.
Roles.
So then explain it to me. What's the beyond Robert Downey Jr.? What's the movie look like? What's the casting look like in the character?
Oh my gosh! Holy mackerel!
Give me an example.
They could throw anyone from Hunger Games in there just to bring in any young adult reader. Boop, right in. But how much will that dumb actor bring in?
But are they Tony Stark or are they somebody else?
Oh no, just make him Tony Stark. Look at my look at my Spider-Man. There's three actors that have been Spider-Man.
Yeah, but
anyone's replaceable.
But Spider-Man hasn't had a cornerstone actor like Robert Downey Jr.
Tobey Maguire was pretty popular.
Not, and he wasn't in that, I don't know, man. And with Wolverine also, like, I don't think they can replace Hugh Jackman.
I have no problem if they replace Hugh Jackman.
That's tough. I don't want to see. I don't want to see somebody else. Now, and it's a little bit different because, like, Spider-Man hasn't been in this shared cinematic universe that we have now. So where everything's kind of supposed to tie together. So I think that makes it a little bit different. If it was just another one shot movie by Sony or something, then whatever, put whoever you want there. But if it's going to tie into all this other stuff we've been following and the Easter eggs that we've been tying together, I just can't see somebody else playing Tony Stark. I think it would be tough.
Jack,
they did it with Bruce Banner, though, didn't they?
Absolutely.
But that was earlier.
They're on the third Bruce Banner, or fourth if you count TV. My favorite character has always been and will be till I die is Peter Parker, Spider-Man. And when I heard that Spider-Man was being rolled up into the Marvel U, I remember distinctly, what was it, a year and a half ago, talking to Martin and saying they should get rid of Peter Parker, bring in Miles Morales,
right?
A
lot of people said that.
Let's bring some diversity to the Marvel youth, and let's bring some youth.
Yeah.
Like, I do not want to see a 55-year-old Tony Stark. I will see an old character for Professor X, sure. But I have no problem them switching those characters out at all. And I think it would be brand confusion if all of a sudden it's like, who's this Riri? What's going on? What?
Well, they have to have a story to go along with it. She can't pop out of nowhere. But they're introducing characters left and right now, so they can make it work.
I'm frightened about the Infinity War. How many guesstimated heroes there's going to be in that?
I am too. I'm wondering if they're trying to bite off a little bit more than they can chew.
Oof. Or is it just going to be guest star central? Like, oh, there's Spider-Man swinging in the background, and then he's gone.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy, and then everybody else is going to be really spotty cameos here and there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If I had to guess.
But I like James' idea of Thanos going around getting all of the gems. Because maybe that's how, guess what, Doctor Strange comes in, Thanos grabs the gem from him, boop, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a quick 3-minute scene. Who the hell knows?
Well, if they're going to do that, can they at least, for a 5-minute scene where he grabs the soul stone out of Adam Warlock's head. That's all I need.
I think what you're going to get is the soul stone sitting in like a little case, and that's how he gets it.
Gosh,
I think is not going to be seen for 2 to 3 movies.
But I'm holding out hope because that's the one stone that is still MIA. They're holding it out for something.
Or Ragnarok.
Yeah, that's the rumor. Also, that's probably right.
Oh my gosh!
So you think they're going to write him out of Infinity Gauntlet, and he's just going to show up Phase 4.
I can see Infinity Gauntlet and Infinity War being part 1, part 2, and not 2 totally separate different things. I think it's going to be like a Star Wars to Empire Strikes Back, or I should say Empire Strikes Back to Return of the Jedi. I think the first one will probably end on a down note and that it will go to a positive note.
Yeah,
and if they do that, that's pretty freaking ballsy. Because how many film series end on dour notes? That's pretty ballsy to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've sort of been leaning the other way. I because Well, they said that the movies aren't related, but
come on,
the way they're filming them so close together and releasing them within a fair, as far as movies goes, a short time frame, it makes you think that what you said might be the case.
I mean, do they want a 65-year-old Tony Stark flying around?
Well, no, that's what I was saying. I think they have to write. I don't think they're going to renew his contract. He's too expensive and he's getting old. But I don't. I think that has to be the end of Tony Stark. That's all I was saying. And I'm not so sure they might not have to do that. Well, Chris Evans, I think he said something about his contract that he it's getting ready to end as well. And I don't care about Chris Evans. I can't even name a movie off the top of my head that he's been in outside of Captain America. But I'm not sure I want to see somebody else just jump in that role.
Chris Evans still values himself as an actor, not just a superhero actor. So,
well,
unless they're backing up a Brinks truck, they're going to go with a younger person.
Well, give Falcon the shield. They did it in the comics.
I hope you were joking.
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, now that I can get behind.
I mean, Captain America doesn't have to be in every Marvel movie.
He sort of is the cornerstone for Marvel.
Yeah.
Whether we'll you see. Like him or not, or he's popular, hey, that's sort of how they gauged it.
Look
right now. The first family of Marvel doesn't even have their own comic book title. So.
That's a good point.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's because they.
Oh, I understand why it happened, but it should never have happened.
They're waiting for Legacy.
Yeah.
When Legacy rolls around, I'm telling you, that's going to be the return of the Fantastic Four.
Dang it. Now I feel like you two you're like inside my wallet. I'm buying Infinity Gauntlet right now, and I'm starting to read it. Dang it, both of you. Get out of my head.
Hey, I'll save you some money. Just read Secret Empire and then wait to see, and then buy Generations, which is the fallout of Secret Empire, and mm-hmm. that's going to lead to Legacy. Just buy those two things and then wait to see what happens with Legacy. You don't need to read anything else in the meantime. I'm convinced there's not going to be any other major titles. It's all going to be fluff.
But Jack, for the price, actually, the price of Secret Empire is $1 more than the entire story of Infinity Gauntlet.
Wow.
How is that value?
Well, you don't get into comics for value.
Oh, I don't get into comics to sell any of them, but, you know, some people thought they could get themselves through college by buying comics. I'm not one of those dum-dums.
They never went to college either.
Right. But guess what? Secret Empire might have some fantastic stuff in it, but it's hard to beat George Perez Starlin.
Yeah.
Pretty hard.
Yeah, for sure. I can't argue with you about that.
So good. Now, well, I guess I should. I know you're huge in Marvel, Jack, and I don't know about you, James, but I know a lot of people have compared like Crisis on Infinite Earth compared to Infinity Gauntlet. Like, which is the desert island read?
For me, it would be Infinity Gauntlet. I did enjoy Crisis. It's kind of like the original Valiant, the Unity. I think those are just the top events. I mean, when it came to the MCU, everything was leading up towards Infinity Gauntlet. I mean, even in the film, that's the biggest. It's just the biggest story. I don't think it gets any bigger or or better.
Yeah, it definitely is the roadmap that all other events sprung from.
I don't need to answer this question.
Trying to get
right?
back. Well, you do run the Ultimate Marvel podcast. I was actually curious if you ever read Crisis on Infinite Earth.
I haven't.
Interesting.
I feel like I should.
Well, maybe that's why you shouldn't have answered it. Because now you're going to be flamed.
Was it good? Was it great?
Oh, yeah. It's great, and to be honest with you, the more DC you read, the more you can reread yeah. Crisis on Infinite Earth and get even more out of it. There's so yeah. many like hidden and layered stuff in there that
see it's that's my problem.
Really impressive,
and that's the reason I never got into DC. Every time I picked up a title, it felt like there was something missing because I didn't know the history of what I was reading.
Yeah, some of it
I never stuck with any of my DC stuff.
Yeah, some of it they made it so convoluted in the history that it's not new reader friendly whatsoever. Yeah. And I know a lot, and I've said it on Nerdy Legion umpteen times, and people mock me all the time. But Stan Lee sort of had something right how many decades ago when he's like, you write a comic book because in your head you think it's this person's first comic book.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's for sure. And that's sort of how you should approach things. I think that's a smart business way to approach comic books.
Yeah, that's tough because I've definitely, since hanging out with all these Valiant fans, people get a little cranky if you don't appeal to like the hardcore, the older fans who have read all the stuff and that really want those deep storylines that dig into the, you know, that connect the dots and dig into the history and whatnot.
Well, I'm sure
that's a balancing act.
I'm sure if James wouldn't have brought up Unity on this podcast, I'm sure he probably would have been thrown off of his Collecting Valiant podcast.
It's in my DNA.
Yes. I have to mention this.
Oh, but you bring up a good point about Stan Lee, and I'm wondering if that's what contributed to Chris Claremont. I swear, every time there was an Uncanny X-Men book, Claremont would have to review their code names, their special abilities. It's like he had to rehash what people's mutant powers were in every issue. So I wonder if that's where that came from. I don't know. I know Claremont got some grief from that overplayed tactic.
See, I can, looking at it at the landscape of comics the last decade, I miss that. I miss the and I can appreciate whenever, and Bendis was pretty good at it towards, not at the beginning of his Marvel run, but like the middle portion. He was pretty good at like, here's a recap page, and it's just text, and if you want to read it, feel free. If you don't, go to the next page. But I miss the recap. I don't want it to be like Claremont would do it over four pages. It would, it sort of drove you crazy. But I miss like the little editor's notes. If people yes. would just add in editor's notes, then instead of you saying Secret Wars or, you know, Secret Invasion, just give me a little asterisk and tell me to go to what issue to read a little bit more. I'll do the investigating. I have no problem. But if you don't give me that editor note, it's like I have no – like that comic book's at issue 500. Where do I have to go back to? Issue 18 or issue 235? I have no idea.
Totally agree. You're reading my mind, Nick. It's yes, 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 yes.
And I don't want to read a Wikipedia page. Like, that is not on the readers to create a Wikipedia page to be able to give me a roadmap. That's on the editors to give me that roadmap. I shouldn't have to leave your content to go search out other content. I don't know. It's the landscape's so strange, but I will say the how DC is sort of impenetrable right now. I do appreciate that most modern writers are writing for trades and they try to not bring all that history and baggage in. because they just assumed this could be your first trade. And I think that's a smart way to approach it. Like, anyone could hand you, like, the Vision trade from Tom King. And anybody could read that, and they don't really need to know any of the history of the Vision, because it's all right there. Mm-hmm. What part of the history you don't need is not included. So it's sort of a scaled-down version. And I think that's smart. Because I'm sure Jack would love to read a little bit of DC if it wasn't like, okay, now what's this? Like, right now there's a Batman Flash crossover that includes the Watchmen, but yet it's in this other alternate. Is this really happening right now, or what?
Yeah, I picked up a few Rebirth titles, and the two I wound up sticking with was Superman and Wonder Woman. But even Wonder Woman, man, that thing is confusing. I stuck with it because I like Greg Rucka, but
I'm right there with you, Jack. I would have bailed if it wasn't for Rucka.
Yeah.
But I can trust him. There's writers that I know this stuff's going to pay off. Yeah. I might have to stick with it for 6 issues, and it takes them 6 months to finally pay that off.
Yeah.
But it's pretty sweet when they pay it off. It isn't just a roll of the dice and hope that this writer's good enough to put a bow on it.
Yeah, I hope so. Now, Superman, on the other hand, has been awesome. It's been solid for 22 issues or whatever it's been.
Yeah, I finally read the first trade of Superman, as well as the first trade of the Superboy with Damian.
Yeah. Okay.
And those are spectacular.
Yeah. So does every superhero in DC now have to have a kid or like a 10-year-old sidekick?
I think that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty cool, and I think that speaks to where the writers are in their life.
Yeah.
They probably all have children.
You're probably right.
But I think that's sort of neat, to be honest with you. Like, looking at Mark Waid's Champions, I love that even if you think it's a crap series, I love that it's like pre-teenage heroes.
Yeah.
At least it's a whole different voice.
I don't think Marvel's handled that well. Like, the way they've handled it in Secret Empire, I think, has been super interesting. But, man, for a lot of fans, it seems like they've created a divide between the older fans and the younger fans.
It seems that way, for sure. But, I mean, look at Ms. Marvel. How many of the older fans don't like it? How many older fans don't like, what is it, Devil Dinosaur?
Or Moon Girl.
Yeah, Moon Girl.
Yeah,
it's true. Just, it's something that's new. And guess what? Not every comic has to be for you.
Yeah.
There's plenty of Wolverine and Spider-Man out there. Go read those.
Yeah, now the one Bendis title I do like is Miles Morales. His Spider-Man title, I think, has been great.
See, I need you to read Bendis when he was doing good superhero work. I need you to read his Daredevil run. That was spectacular. That was really, really good. But it wasn't a superhero work. It was a crime noir story.
Right.
And there was hardly any action. But it was beautifully told. It was a good, like, detective story. But trust me, I can, for every one good Bendis title I could give you, I also can name 4 that just didn't work.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I wish I was wrong, but yeah. But I'm also the person that liked the beginnings of All New X-Men. At least it was something different. and guess what? He brought back the X-Men that I grew up with.
Yeah.
Might not have had the same voice to the characters, but I liked the adolescent X-Men. They were fun.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you about that.
So how about we go ahead and wrap this up?
Very good. Well, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on. If anyone wants to reach out to us, you can do so on Twitter at Ultimate Marvel Pod. Thank you all as well, Jane.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Thanks, Nick. It was a pleasure.
Ronnie's here.
I'm here.
The Ultimate Marvel Podcast.
I'm Jack. Ronnie's here.
I'm here. I'm here.
This episode.
Yes. It is over.
All right.
The Adamantium is killing me.
Yes. It is over.
All right.